We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
What we've seen is a very substantial increase in the number of people who say they have no religion. That is, you ask them, what is your religion, if any, and they say none. So we call them nuns. None of the above.
That's Mark Silk of Trinity College Program on Public Values. They put out this gigantic survey. What, 54,000 people surveyed over the several months to find out their religious views and to track the trends changing religious views in America? There has been some change. The nuns, one of the fastest growing religious groups in the U.S., along with non-denominational Christians, also growing pretty quick as far as the surveys tell us. Colleen Carol Campbell joins us for the next 10 minutes of the program to talk about that new survey. She's written about it in her column in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. She's a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and she's author of the book, The New Faithful. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Are you surprised to discover what appears to be kind of a Grand Canyon, or maybe a valley with two peaks on either side? One is the nuns, the other is the non-denominational group of Christians.
You know, I wasn't surprised by that finding. I think we've been seeing evidence of this, mounting evidence, in recent years. I know when I researched my book, The New Faithful, I found this trend very strong among young adults who tend to either want to embrace religion with full intensity, or they don't want anything to do with it. They don't tend to be just simply cultural Christians who want to kind of go with the flow. And in 2004, UCLA researchers following college students found this same trend and commented on it, how there was this increasing division between the more intensely religious kids and those who have no religious affiliation at all. And, of course, a lot of the nuns tend to skew young and male, so that certainly fits with some of what we've seen before.
What did this survey show you about not only the present but the future of mainline liberal church bodies?
Well, again, I think it confirms some trends we've already seen. There was a 2000 study by the Glenn Mary Research Center. It was highly touted in places like the New York Times and elsewhere. It got a lot of press, and it showed that America's fastest-growing congregations between 1990 and 2000 were socially conservative churches that demanded high commitment from their members, while socially liberal churches, and we're speaking now of liberal mainline denominations in the main, ones like UCC, for instance, were hemorrhaging members at the fastest rate. So again, I think this new study is further confirmation of that trend. And again, I think it goes back to the same issue of Americans in a culture that is becoming increasingly secularized, and we're moving toward European-style socialism, I think, with our current administration. There's more of a sense that you can't go along with the flow if you want to be a serious Christian. So if you want to be a serious Christian, you're attracted to a church that demands serious commitment from you. But you don't tend to see the point of going to a church that just tells you to go ahead and be like everyone else, be as secular as everyone else, adopt the same morality as everybody else. Because I think especially, again, for young people, it just doesn't make much sense. Why even bother with a Christianity that's that diluted?
Is there good news or bad news for Roman Catholics in America in this survey?
It was pretty good news on the whole. Catholics remain the largest single religious group in America, with one in every four Americans are Catholic. 11 million more Americans became Catholic in the span of this survey since it was last taken in 2001. However, Catholics did slip one percentage point down from 26% of the population to 25%. So what was most interesting, I think, about the Catholic angle of this survey is while the church is clearly numbers are quite strong, Catholics tend to be moving out of the Northeast, which has always been associated with Catholicism, and more Catholics showing up in the South and in the West. So we see those changing demographics in many cities that were considered historically, culturally very Catholic. You're seeing less enthusiasm for the faith, and then in places where you never saw Catholics before, you've got overflowing parishes. So I think some of that is a reflection of the fact that in America, again, when you're in the South and some parts of the West, depends what parts you're in, there is certainly, I think, more support for church going in general and for a lot of the values that the Catholic Church upholds. And then in addition to that, you, of course, have immigration and Latino immigrants particularly bringing their Catholic faith with them.
What is this, if anything, does this tie into any political or electoral trends as far as you're concerned, the shift of Catholics around the country?
Yes, well, the shift, I think, certainly, you know, if you track some of these trends and then you look at voting patterns, I mean, you can, you know, those states where they have the high church-going rates tend to be red states, and the ones emptying out more and more we see of churchgoers in general, whether they be Protestant or Catholic, in the Northeast, in the Pacific Northwest, tend to be blue states. So there's that trend, which is fairly obvious. But I think there are some other interesting things. I think the rise of the nuns, these kind of ad hoc group of atheists, agnostics, and spiritual freelancers who affiliate with no religion at all, I don't think it's a coincidence that the vast majority of these folks in polling supported Barack Obama for president, tend to vote liberally on social issues, tend to be in favor of the expansion of government. I think you're seeing, again, another divide in America where those who are intensely religious and becoming more so, fear a government that is growing so large, spending so much, and taking over so many of our liberties and taking over so much of the area that used to be governed by civil society. But I think if you have no God and you have no connection to a larger faith community, there tends to be that greater temptation to invest those kind of supernatural hopes and dreams in human beings and in government. And so I think that's part of this split that we're seeing between the way that Americans are reacting to the expansion of government that we're undergoing right now.
You use the term spiritual freelancers. And, I mean, if you talk about atheists, it's a very small percentage. Agnostics, probably even smaller. But the spiritual freelancers seem to be driving the growth of the nuns. Do we need to take a closer look at that sector of the nuns and try and figure out exactly who we're talking about here?
Yes, I think we do. I mean, this is a hard group to pin down. A lot of folks, you know, I think there's still some residual, you know, unpopularity with just simply claiming to be an atheist in America today. So there might be a little bit of that. I mean, I think a lot of the spiritual freelancers, if you really push them on their beliefs, they live as practical atheists. In fact, this survey found that something around 12% of Americans, so almost all of that 15% nun category, did not believe in a personal God. And so those are, as in, you know, no moral norms handed down from a God who cares what you do. So I think, you know, for all practical purposes, I think we are talking in a sense about atheists in that undefined kind of the way they actually live sense. But, you know, some of these folks are also seekers who've been turned off on organized religion. And I think an important mistake not to make that I'm afraid many churches do is to try to keep watering things down more and more and more to attract these freelancers, when what we actually see is those who experience profound conversions from being a freelancer to being an intensely committed Christian often say it was the very demands of Christianity and the clarity of the gospel that attracted them, not a pastor who told them to go ahead and do whatever they wanted.
What impact do you think the nation's economy is going to have on religious life in America, Colleen?
Well, I think that's a big question today. I've been getting that question from a lot of folks and talking to different folks about it. We've seen reports across the country now, pastors and rabbis, some of them saying that they're getting larger attendance at their worship services. Others are saying things look about the same. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what this survey, which comes out about once every decade, what the results might be in a decade from now. And again, I think some of that will depend on what's happening now with the growth of government. There's, you know, I think a legitimate concern for religious believers that as government expands and attempts to take on more and more of an authoritative, culturally influential role in our society, there'll be less room for faith communities to expand and to help people who are hurting. And so not only will we not have the power to do so, we'll have less and less impetus as we kind of sit back and wait for Uncle Sam to help our neighbors. So, you know, if things go in that direction and President Obama achieves a lot of his policy ends in terms of expanding government, we may not see much of a spiritual uptick from all of this trouble. On the other hand, history does tend to show that churches tend to swell when the wallet tends to empty. So that's a pretty ironclad spiritual rule as well. So that may, again, emerge even in this economic downturn.
With only 30 seconds in a nutshell, why do you think the number of people who call themselves Christian in America has dropped 10 points since 1990?
I think a lot of the folks who were calling themselves Christians in 1990 were, in a sense, spiritual freelancers. They were already living, in many cases, I think, as folks who didn't really consider religion an integral part of their private life or the way they live publicly. And I think, I think in some ways this is just people finally coming out of the closet as, hey, you know what, this doesn't matter to me. I don't go anymore anyway. Why keep checking that box? But certainly the survey, the researchers said that the big decline was in mainline Protestant churches. And again, we've seen over and over, it's the socially liberal churches that seem to be accounting for that big drop.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and author of a column, weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's column at issuesetc.org. Click on demand. While you're there, you can also check out our interview with Mark Silk of the Trinity College Program on Public Values, the organization that conducted this new survey, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
And we'll get Dr. Albert Mohler's take on this new survey on American religious life tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, Wesley Smith's thoughts about that St. Louis Post-Dispatch editorial praising President Obama's decision to free up federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feitinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.